Welcome to Singer Liwek's podcast series, brought to you by the professionals of Singer Liwek from various areas of expertise. Our podcast series touch upon different subjects related to growth, strategy, tax advisory services, and technical and regulatory matters. Good morning, Ninas. How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well, Amina.
Welcome to the Singer Liwek Not-for-Profit Practice podcast. We're happy to have you today. Today, you're going to be talking to our audience about substantiation of NOLs. First of all, give us a little bit of background about yourself and what you do at Singer Liwek.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. I'm a tax director in our Los Angeles office, and I'm in the tax function where we provide tax compliance and consulting services for our clients, basically preparing tax returns and then also advising them on various tax-related matters. Specifically, I specialize in nonprofits. It's a favorite area of tax of mine. I've been focusing on it for about 16 years.
Wow, that's a long time, and I know you're very passionate about it. I know my interactions with you have been extremely positive. I know that you also give back a lot to your clients in terms of time and guidance, so that's amazing. So going back to our topic today, Ninas, what exactly is a NOL, and who does it apply to in the not-for-profit world?
So an NOL, as you know, it stands for net operating loss. An NOL is typically generated when a business reports expenses in excess of its revenues in any given year. So basically, when a business is losing money, it generates an NOL. So you can use this NOL to offset or reduce your taxable income from the same entity in another tax year.
So NOL, let me just make sure that our listeners are also clear. Do these expire? Is there a time limit on how long you can have an NOL?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, they do. Generally, a business can choose to either carry back the NOL to the preceding two tax years, or they can look forward and carry forward the NOL for the next 20 years to apply it towards any taxable income that is generated in that period. But you do need to make an election to do this. You need to make a decision as to whether you're going to carry it back or carry it forward, and there are very strict rules about it.
So the IRS allows these types of situations, particularly for not-for-profits?
Well, this is the interesting part. So it's for everybody. It's for all business entities that have taxable income. Where nonprofits come into play is nonprofits, even though they are tax-exempt on their mission-related revenue, to the extent that they are involved in any type of activity that's unrelated to their exempt purpose and is a regularly carried on trade or business, then they have to pay income taxes on that income just like any other for-profit business does. So where NOLs comes into play for nonprofits is on what's called their UBI, their unrelated business income tax or activity.
Thanks for the explanation. It sounds pretty straightforward. But what are the specific nuances of this? Are there specific rules that the IRS implements or that not-for-profits have to follow?
Well, the rules are the same, but the nuances that cause a little bit of a challenge for people. And so in my role as providing tax compliance services, I also provide IRS representation for our clients. And so sometimes what we find is everything is great until the IRS examiner comes knocking at the door. And so when you're dealing with NOLs, you're dealing with substantiation issues. So the IRS does expect you to be able to substantiate or provide evidence to show that you actually incurred these expenses that generated the NOL, which you think, okay, what's the big deal about that? That's great. And typically for businesses, you're dealing with the statute of limitation. Tax years are open for federal purposes. It's open for 3 years. So generally, you have your books and records. You have your receipts. You have the substantiation for 3 or 4 years. So that's not a problem. So that's why for-profit businesses don't encounter as much of a challenge. Where it becomes a little bit of a more difficult area is for nonprofits, because really nonprofits are the ones who could find themselves conceivably doing a UBI activity in 1 or 2 years, and then for whatever reason give up that UBI activity. They still continue as a nonprofit. They still continue as an organization. But then maybe 10 years down the line, they jump back into a UBI activity. Well, the losses that they generated in those first 2 years can still be carried forward because we're looking at a 20-year carry. Now you're looking to having to substantiate the losses that were generated from 10 years back. And it becomes a little bit difficult when there's change in employment. People don't necessarily keep the records. 10 years is a long time. 15 years is a long time.
So you're saying the IRS allows a 20-year term on NOLs?
Yes. And the thing to keep in mind is when you're dealing with NOLs, that three-year statute of when the service can come back and say, give us a substantiation, the clock starts when your NOL is being used, not when the NOL is being generated.
Huh, got it.
So it's similar to buying a house.
Right.
Right. So you buy your house and you hold on to your escrow documents. And so if you sell the house in, you know, 25 years after the fact, and you try to show how much you paid for it and how much you paid for construction and renovation and so forth for your basis to be able to bring down the amount of hopefully gain that you'll recognize on the sale of your house. Well, if that year of sale gets audited, the IRS would expect you to prove how much you paid for the house. So it doesn't matter that you bought the house 25 years ago. They still expect you to show escrow documents, receipts, something that shows it. Same exact thing with NOLs. And the problem is that the IRS is well within the right to not accept copies of prior business returns or the work papers. And work papers can be the accountant's work papers. So what they're looking for substantiation is actual source documents. They're looking for receipts. They're looking for reports, general ledgers, anything that is generated by the business or organization itself that proves that the expenses were incurred and that they actually exceeded the revenue.
So it's of extreme importance when you're doing an NOL to really keep very clear checks and balances.
Yeah, generally when we're dealing with large NOLs that are accruing, and this is more so the case when you have an operating UBI. It's a little bit different when you have investment K-1s because people usually hold on to their K-1s or they're a little bit easier to pull back. But when you're dealing with operating UBI, when you are having to allocate salaries or cost of goods sold or things of that nature, it becomes really important to make sure that the organizations hold on to that record and keep it in a separate file or a separate place until the years that they actually use the NOLs and then 3 or 4 years after that.
Can you give us an example of a worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario is, unfortunately, I've seen an organization who legitimately had an NOL from UBI activity, and their UBI was, if I recall, probably about maybe 15 or 16 years old. So they were well within their 20-year period. But what happened is, in the earlier period, they were generating the NOLs. Then they stopped that activity. Then when they started the activity again, they started utilizing the NOLs. Problem was that when they were looked at by the IRS, and the IRS said, okay, give us substantiation, they didn't have anything because unfortunately it had been so old that the things had gotten purged, personnel had moved, everything changed.
Wow.
So they didn't have anything to show the IRS.
Wow.
And so the IRS was well within their right to disallow the entire NOL. And that's what they did.
So what do you advise in a situation like this? I know that nowadays, you know, obviously it's all electronic. A lot of stuff is kept electronically. So it's very easy to go back years and years and years. But what is your advice to not-for-profits in these situations where they're using NOLs?
Well, it actually is a little bit easier, right? Because you don't have to worry about keeping a file folder and keeping it in some closet somewhere. Now you scan the information, scan the receipts, scan whatever information that was used to report the loss to begin with.
Sure.
Keep it in an electronic file, keep it in the cloud somewhere so that you can hold on to it for a really long time.
For a really long time. So it's not just the 3 year or the 7 year.
Exactly.
Just keep it for
as long as you're going to be using
it.
And then when in the year that you are actually utilizing the NOL, at that point, then you look forward for 3 or 4 years when the statute runs, depending on what state you're in.
Well, Nanaz, this was excellent information on substantiation of NOLs. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for stopping by. And if anyone listening to this podcast has further questions on this topic, where can you be reached?
Sure. I can be reached at either my email, which is N as in Nancy, B as in boy, E, N as in Nancy, Y, A, M as in Mary, I, N as in Nancy, I, at singerlywack.com. Or I can be reached also at our office, 310-477-3924. And I'd love to help out in answering any questions for anybody.
Nanaz, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you.